Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline is our hockey insider.
He had a teenage hashtag in the summertime, too. In Italy, hashtag never coming home.
Is that right? I don't remember seeing that.
I think I saw it.
You did see it, but I feel the same way. Italy is ridiculous.
All right.
It's the greatest place on earth.
Here's Bob McKenzie. Bob, do you want to defend your hashtag?
No. Put it this way. I'm back. That's all that matters.
Did you, in fact, do that, though?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. I didn't want to come back.
Did not want to come back.
Weren't you in the Amalfi Coast?
Yes, I was. It was beautiful.
It is. It's the best. Like, it's so picturesque. And the food.
The food, the wine. And then we went from Positano and the Amalfi Coast up to Tuscany for a few days and then a couple of days in Rome. And it's just what I've discovered very quickly here, because I've not done a lot of traveling and certainly not to Italy for any great. I was in Torino for the Olympics, but that was all work, no play. And at the time that I was at Torino, I felt like I was in Hamilton as opposed to anywhere exotic. And because it's a real industrial city. But what I discovered very quickly is you could take a 2-week vacation to Italy every year for 10 years and not even begin to come close to see everything. For a country that's not ridiculously large, like it's, you know, it's not Canada, the United States, not this great vast mass of land. Man, oh man, there's so many places to go and things to do, and just a great country.
Yeah,
when you got back every summer. When you got back to the cottage, did any fellow employees or coworkers make it up to the cottage this year or no? Quizmaster
was there for 4 hours.
That's about right before you kick him out.
He came in 12:30, was gone at 4, so it was perfect.
That's about all you need.
Yeah,
of him it is.
Perfect. So we were talking about this earlier. Matthews is not playing tonight, but he revealed some information today that, based on his understanding, he's going to be on a top power play unit with Tavares and Marner, and you fill out the rest. And he doesn't have Hyman on his wing, which I don't know exactly what happened there or why Babcock came to the conclusion that he was going to change that up. But Babcock had always been committed to Hyman on his wing, and that's no longer the case. And you tell me if I'm making too much out of this, but kind of feels like that meeting in Arizona in late April, the Matthews camp might have won that battle because Babcock is changing something for some reason, and it seems like Matthews is benefiting from it.
Yeah, you could make that argument. I don't know how much of it is fact, how much of it is fiction. That's going to be the narrative for sure, is that, there's an appeasement here and that Hyman's gone and Marlowe's going to be there and Marlowe's, and Babcock's rationalization is very simple. Now that we've got John Tavares playing with Mitch Marner, I want somebody who can cycle the puck and play the down low game with Tavares and Marner, and I want somebody who's more dangerous off the rush, that would be Patrick Marlowe, to play with Matthews and Nylander once Nylander arrives. And whatever the case may be, it's Toronto, and the whole, Matthews, Babcock relationship dynamic is going to get, pulverized as people look at it from seven ways to Sunday. The flip side of that would be, if it went so well that Matthews doesn't have a letter on his jersey and Tavares and Marlowe and Riley do. So, that's the flip side argument is that, I don't think Babcock's making a statement there saying I'm the boss and you're not. I think what the statement that was being made was, we're not giving any of our kids anything too soon, and everybody's going to have to earn what they get, and we're going to give the letters to a guy who's been a captain for a long time in the National Hockey League in John Tavares, and we're going to give it to a 39-year-old, and we're going to give it to what's now a veteran defenseman on our team, and we're not going to separate Matthews from Marner and Nylander, and they're all, they're all young players, and they're all core players, and we love them, but we're going to give these letters to the other guys. So, as I say, everything will get analyzed on the basis of, was there a rift at the end of the season, and did the visit to Arizona have anything to do with that? Or, I don't think Babcock had a rift with Freddie Anderson, but he went to Denmark too, so who knows?
Well, with the RFAs, there's Nylander in Toronto, there's Reinhardt. When do you think is the real first, critical point where it's, you know, that if it goes past that, I mean, I know it's important. They want the kids in training camps. It's, you know, they got to get their legs underneath them for the regular season. But when is it like go time, like this is on and could get ugly? Start of the regular season, obviously.
I think it's graduated a little bit. The absolute go time is regular season. But even if they just sign on the eve of the regular season, they've missed all of training camp. They've missed all the preseason games, which, I mean, there's too many preseason games to begin with. You only want it. I think most National Hockey League players at this stage of the game, being the kind of shape that they're all in, if they can play a couple of preseason games, they're good to go. But, I would think the optimal time for any of these guys, Nylander included, to come back would be by the weekend. If you can get something done by the weekend, then there's a whole slate of games next week. Mm-hmm. The Leafs play Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. So there's a choice of games to get them in and gives the team a chance to work the various power plays to have your team be, you know, Babcock likes to set his lines fairly early, and Babcock also likes, if I remember correctly, usually the second to last exhibition preseason game is usually almost the opening night lineup. And then quite often the Saturday night, he'll go with a different lineup. But, because the Leafs generally play the Friday, Saturday, the last weekend of preseason, Friday, Saturday night with back to back. So, I would think the first window to try and get this done and not negatively impact your training camp would be get them in by the weekend. But worst case scenario, you want to get them in by the beginning of the regular season.
Any other rumblings with some of the other RFAs kicking around? I think there's five prominent guys that are still unsigned.
Yeah, no, I haven't heard anything on that front. We knew once Morrissey signed that Nurse probably wouldn't be far behind and in the same universe. And some people would say, well, that's the same sort of thing Shea Theodore should get with the Vegas Golden Knights. But I think the situation in Vegas is a little different. I think that's a case where the club really wants to get a long-term deal done and doesn't want to do a bridge. And they're not even maybe talking about that. So, but the other guys that are out there, Nick Ritchie hasn't signed in Anaheim, Sam Reinhart in Buffalo, Nylander in Toronto. I don't believe Miles Wood has signed with the New Jersey Devils yet.
That Nick Ritchie might be sitting a while, Bobby. I got a feeling they might want to make an example out of him. He just doesn't have the numbers. I know he had some first line stints with Getzlaff and Perry, but I mean, come on.
The end of the day, the reality is, and everybody knows this, they don't have leverage. They've got virtually zero leverage other than withholding your services. And, you know, and even that, I mean, that's playing a dangerous game, thinking that you and you alone are enough to torpedo a team's hopes to get out of the gate quickly. Now, in Vegas, I mean, you got Nate Schmidt's got a 20-game suspension, and so Theodore might feel like, hey, you know what, if they don't have me and they don't have Schmidt, then they're running a deficit here, and maybe my leverage goes up once we start playing regular season games. But at the end of the day, you don't really have much leverage, because if you do decide to really go to the wall and say, I'm not playing any games until I get the deal that I want, A, there's a deadline in the recent CBAs, December 1. If you're not signed by December 1, you can't play for the rest of the year. That's number one. And if let's assume for a moment, in the rare, almost unheard of instance in these days, let's assume a restricted free agent says, yeah, you know what? If I don't get the deal, I'm not going to play. I'll sit a year if I have to. Okay, we'll sit a year. You come back the next year and you think, okay, I'm ready to go now. I want to do the deal. And you're like, and they're like, okay, yeah, we're just start talking about what we talked about last year, because nothing changed. You have no more leverage than you had a year ago. You're not 1 year closer to free agency. You're not 1 year closer to anything. You don't have any extra tools in the toolkit other than withholding services. So it's not like you gain anything by sitting out other than losing all the money you otherwise would make. So it's not an advantageous negotiating position, but I understand why the players will use whatever leverage they have, try to make things a little uncomfortable to the club, and squeeze another 100K out of them or what have you.
Well, with that being the case, really what they're negotiating is what category the player's in. And what I mean by that is McDavid didn't have any leverage, but obviously he was getting $12
million. Obviously. Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Eichel didn't have any leverage. Now, I think they overpaid him, but still, they gave him 10 years at $8 million. Matthews has the same leverage, or will have the same leverage, mm-hmm. as Nylander and Marner.
8 at 10?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's whatever. You know what I mean. And the point I'm making is they could, the teams could do that with those players too, but they choose not to. So I get the impression, right, like in Nylander's case, he's saying, no, I'm with those guys. I'm not with these other plugs who you're treating like garbage, you know.
Right.
I'm a stud. And that's really what the debate is, how the team really feels about the player.
Yeah, it is. And I talked a little bit about this on Leafs Lunch yesterday, and I think you're right. I think from Nylander's position, he's saying, okay, I'll do a long-term deal, but maybe it should be closer to Dreisaitl's 8.5 than Nick Ehlers 6 or David Pastrnak's 6.6. 6.67 rather, and the Leafs probably think it's more in that that latter universe, so they don't agree on that. And then if they don't agree on valuation on a long-term deal, well, then maybe you have to try and do the bridge deal. I mean, maybe nobody wants to do that right now, but if I'm the Leafs and if I'm Kyle Dubas, I'm looking at this one very carefully and saying, I got to be real careful here. This is my first big kick at the cat in terms of negotiating a really important contract for a core offensive player on our team. And I've got to be careful because what I do here could impact in a negative way what happens with Matthews and Marner. And so I think it behooves Dubas and the Leafs to make sure that they do this judiciously. And yet he is a core offensive guy, but some people might argue that he's at the lower end of that core, young guy compared to, say, Matthews, for example. And so it'll be interesting to see, and we don't expect either Matthews or Marner to do anything quickly. So, you know, Nylander is in a vacuum right now. He's got to make his move. And I heard MJ talking about this on That's Hockey last night. So, you know, the argument's going to be, hey, we want to keep the band together for a long time here, so you need to give us a little bit of a discount here if you're going to do a long-term deal. And Nylander's probably thinking, yeah, okay, no problem, but what if Matthews and Marner don't take the discount and I do, and now I'm signed in for 6 or 7 years and then I feel like an idiot? So he wants to try and get full value for what he thinks he's got.
With Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider, I'm just seeing on Twitter that Michael Delzato of the Canucks is talking about Fortnite and how much the rookies play it and kids, and this is a thing league-wide. When you talk with GMs, Bob, does Fortnite ever come up? And do they have any legitimate concerns about how much gaming these kids are playing right now?
Well, I think any GM has any concern about any player doing anything excessively. Sometimes there's the odd case where some guys work out too much. I mean, you got it in there like, you know what, you're tired, you're overdoing it, back off. If you have players who are staying up and not getting sleep because they're playing video games, then it's a problem. The video game's not the problem. It's just anything to excess. So this just kind of gives you some idea of how the game's changed. Because long before O and Noodles played the game, but certainly while we were in O's wheelhouse and Noodles' wheelhouse, the issue wasn't excessive video game playing.
No.
It was lifestyle. excessive just about everything else, and probably more detrimental in the grand scheme of things. But if you're not getting sleep and all you do is playing video games, but I don't know. I don't think banning video games. I mean, don't take video games on the road. A lot of these teams, a lot of the most successful teams in the National Hockey League, the Washington Capitals won a cup last year. Chicago Blackhawks, when they were winning their cups, they were Mario Karting all the merry day long. I mean, it was part of their team bonding. They were having fun with it. It obviously wasn't detrimental and what have you. So I think sometimes we like to pick on the millennials and the fact that some of these guys are wound up about Fortnite and some of the video games they play. But I think the vast majority of players understand that, too much of anything is not good for you. But there's going to be some guys that are fully addicted to it, and they spend the whole night playing it, and that's stupid not because it's a video game, but because it's any activity that keeps you from doing what you're supposed to be doing as a professional athlete.
Yeah, I mean, we've all heard stories. You guys, I'm sure, have played with guys. Like, I've heard stories, which I don't know if they're true or not, that players, veteran players, get hooked on golf, and they're playing in Arizona. They're playing like 36 holes before they go and play.
Yeah, it's not, yeah. You know, like, guys are coming in sunburned. And
right.
In the old days, sometimes a guy would show up with a sunburn, and you're like, where did he get that? Well, he played 36 holes of golf on a game day or something. You know, that's stupid. But, I mean, it was no different than any of us who are parents and are teenage kids got cell phones, and I know from experience that, you know, they'd be up all night texting their friends and messaging and MSN messaging and whatever, and then at some point you're like, okay, enough, you know, smarten up, because you can't go to school and message your friends all night, and they figure it out, or they should, and if they don't, then the game takes care of them.
Right. The game. I like that. MSN Messenger. I haven't heard of that in a while.
Yeah, exactly. That's why.
That was my go-to back in the day.
Old school messaging.
ICQ was before that. Remember ICQ? Were you guys on that? You guys were in the NHL by that point.
We didn't. We were dealing with the other stuff, the off ice, what Bob was talking about, the excess.
Those stories are way more interesting than excessive Fortnite.
I think that's the problem here. Like, people are goofing on Fortnite because it's boring. I don't want to hear about you playing Fortnite.
See, Noodles, I've never heard of somebody excessive Fortniting and needing a helicopter to get them back to practice in time, but that's another story for another day that's not on the radio.
Yeah, exactly. The 7-minute helicopter from a suburb to downtown. Yeah, needed that.
That sounds like the kind of story I want to hear.
I'll take that. It's a better story.
It's a way better story.
Sitting in a hotel room.
Some guy racked up an all-time record points in Fortnite. Who cares? Yeah. Tell me about the helicopter and the Playboy Mansion. Exactly. All right, Bob, good to have you back. We'll do it again on Thursday.
One final thing. I was just on Kijiji, and I'm looking for a new chair for my office, and some guy named Pierre Lebrun is selling a chair on Kijiji. I was wondering if you might let me know if that's a good chair to buy.
You might want to just scrape it along the floor to see what it sounds like.
Well, it's got a hole in the middle of it. That's the problem.
Looks like a grenade went off right in the house.
Yeah, that's a no guy. I would delete that account quickly, Bob.
No.
Run
all
for
right,
the hills.
Just checking.
All right, man. Good luck with that.
Thanks, guys.
There's Bob McKenzie, our hockey insider.